Glad that you're here. Good to have Eva Smith. This is Beverly's niece from Oklahoma. Now, she's originally from Texas, so we're not going to hold it against her that she's living in Oklahoma right now. But good to have her. Good to have Ed back. Ed had a, I don't know what it would be when you take your, have your finger cut off. Is that a fingerdectomy or something like that? Something like that. Well, he's getting better, and we missed him for 2 or 3 weeks. Good to have these guys, Tim and Tammy and Rich. And good to have you all. I appreciate you being here. This is a weekend for Memorial Day, and I know that several of you have served. Albert, what years did you serve? 69 to 82. That's a long time. In the Marines, Semper Fi. Ed, what years did you serve? 59 through 80. My goodness, these are some long-term soldiers here. Anybody else in the service? 55, that's still a long one, man. Tommy? 86 to 93. Man, good night. Let's give these guys a hand. We're among royalty. Anybody else over here been in the service? Well, my goodness, it's good to have you all. And the reason I bring that up and I take a few minutes out of the lesson to talk about that is this right here. In our lesson today from 1 John chapter 3, we read about the greatest type of love that is available, and that love is a godly love, but it's a love in which we are willing to give up our lives for others, in a nutshell. And that's what soldiers do, by the way. They're willing to give up their life, and I know the generation before me was called the greatest generation. Well, I don't know exactly why that phrase was coined, but I do know that has to be a big part of it, to give of yourself for the many generations to follow so that the generations can experience freedom and experience being free from the reign of terror and dictators. And so thank you guys for all your service. So we're in 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to read here in just a moment. Kevin, could I get you to shut the doors, please, sir? 1 John chapter 3, and thank you, Kevin, for doing that. Among the things that John has taken time to emphasize in these five short chapters are these things right here. The need to be sincere is number one. Sincere before God. Sincere in having a clean conscience before God. Because here's the thing. I will not stand before any of you, and you will not stand before me, but we'll both stand before God. And so John hones in on that point. And another thing that we've seen is in chapters 2, in chapters 3, and in chapters 4, we see the love of God being discussed. And, you know, it's one of those things that we all are familiar with, the love of God. We're all familiar with our faith being a faith of love, or it should be. But here he hones down on it, where it came from, what it looks like. And one of the things that has impressed me is love is not a feeling. I mean, we at the time we think it is, okay? Been married to that young lady up there 36 years, and at the time, 36 years ago, there were some feelings involved. Oh, there still is today, too, don't get me wrong. But we've had 36 years to do more than just feel our love for each other. Now, our love is an action. It's something that we do. It's us serving each other. And that is the crux of the matter. And John has not minced words about what pleases our Father. And what we have seen in the past 2 or 3 lessons is this right here. if I'm going to please my Heavenly Father, then I'm going to love you. And if love is not just a feeling, but it's activity, it's action, then if I love you, then I seek to serve you in whatever way you need. Now, we're not mats, floor mats, that everybody walks on and takes advantage of. But he's very clear about the family of God, the church of God. I should be doing all I can to take care of your needs, and you should be all doing all you can to take care of my needs. The reason I bring that up, because it's so easy to throw your arm around somebody and give them a hug and say, I love you, brother, and then never do the first thing about meeting a need. That's what John's all about this morning. He continues that. Well, let me go down to verse 10. That's where we ended last week, so it'll make sense to begin with the verse number 11. Verse 10 says, in this the children of God are manifest. What does that mean right there? John is telling us, hey, look, if you're a child of God, this is what you're going to look like. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Okay, this is what they both look like right here in a nutshell. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. He cut and dried. Now, what we have seen is that's not a one-time deal. When you're doing righteousness, just because you've done it one time doesn't mean that you're good forever. And just because you haven't done righteousness at some point in your life doesn't mean that's the way it's going to be forever. But John's given us a thing about, hey, this is what you're going to look like over the course of your life, over the course of the steps that you take. If I seek to do righteousness God's way, I might step forward two or three times, and then I might step back because I'm got an old nature. I got this flesh that I want to do other things with. And John has helped to see, hey, what's important is in the course of your life, if you're seeking to follow the Lord and take more steps forward than you do back, that's what the child of God looks like. He says, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Oh, man, you got to love me. Did you know that? I'm so sorry. And I got to love you. If I want to be a child in the family of God, I got to love my sister. I got to love my brother. That's the way God wants it. So let's pick up in verse number 11. And to get a thought for the lesson, we'll finish through the end of the chapter. He says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore, or why slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Happy Memorial Day. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeing his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, remember, this book's about our Heavenly Father to his children. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Let me stop right there for just a minute. The lesson's not about this, but that's a wonderful verse. I want you to know. In trying to live for the Lord, in trying to do the right thing, we don't always do so, do we? And when we do that, if we're a child of God, something else that John has told us, if we're a child of God, we're not going to be happy to continue doing things that do not please him. The prodigal son found himself in a pig pen. What did he say after working in the pig pen for a while? He says, I got to get out of here. I don't belong here. He says, I will arise and go to my father's house. John, in these five chapters, he proves over and over again that if we're a child of God, we're going to do what our Father wants us to do. We may not do it every day, but we're on the long haul going to do what our Father wants to do. And sometimes when we don't, we carry around that guilt. Don't we? You ever felt guilty about something? Well, sure we do. And sometimes that guilt gets in the way, and John is just helping to say, hey, look, if your heart is giving you a hard time, if you got so much guilt because of your past, listen, God's greater than that. Amen. God's greater than that, and he can help you get through that guilt. If he's forgiven you, then you should forgive yourself. I love that verse. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and in him, and hereby, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now, another great verse is that last one. I could do no good, I could do no righteousness, neither could you, if the Spirit of God was not in us. If you're not a child of God, you cannot do righteousness. If you're not a saved person, then you need to do the first step and ask God to save you. And when that happens, when somebody truly becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit resides in us and he gives us power. You like power? One of the things I like about this truck out here, Brother Stacy, is got the power. I can be fully loaded and the trailer be full, and when I punch it, I'm out of there. That's what it is for the child of God. He's got the Holy Spirit so willing to help people make decisions, but we got to listen to him. And he speaks through his word, so we got to read his word. So up in verse 11, John says, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now, the word love is all throughout these three chapters. In the Bible, in the New Testament, there are three Greek words for love. One of them is eros, and it's never used in the New Testament. And it's the word, it's an erotic love having to do with sex. And it's never used in the New Testament. The Greeks, you know, the Jews had to be concerned with Greek culture. They talked a great deal about sex. And they had their gods and their goddesses whose main worship involved the activities in sex. Not a part of God's word. Just something they dreamed up, I guess. The second word in the Greek is phileo. And it just means friendship. Albert and I have a phileo type of love. We're very cordial. We're friends. The third word used in the New Testament is agapeo. That's God's love. For God so loved the world. Has nothing to do with feelings, by the way. It has to do with his love for us. Now, the perplexing thing here is it's a godly kind of love, but here John tells us that we should have it too. Well, how am I going to have a godly kind of love when I am a human being? And I, on one day, I will treat you like royalty, and the next day, I may slam the door on your face. Georgina's smiling like she's done that before. Well, he's going to help us with that, but the agapeo type of love is what he wants us to use as we love each other. Now remember, in John chapter 1, in 1 John chapter 1, John took a great deal of time to tell us why he was writing these five chapters, this little letter. And one of the reasons was, he says, I want to bring to you Christ. I want to show you who the Son of God was. And so he wrote us these five chapters, and he's been showing us now what godly love. And it's so important that we realize that. Why is it important, Duane? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you why it's so important. In our Christian community and in the world, there's, I don't know how many denominations there are. And within each denomination, there are divisions of that denomination. And then within each division of that denomination, there are many, many, many different kinds of churches, and a good portion of them have split from each other. Why is there so many denominations? Well, some of it probably was by doctrine. Somebody in the church didn't want to teach God's word anymore. They wanted to teach something else, so they split off so they could do their own thing. But John's dealing with something here that's so very important in God's church, and that is, I got to love you. You got to love me. And sometimes the truth of the matter is, as what's happened, I'm sure, in maybe millions of situations, sometimes you and I get on the wrong side of each other because we don't like the color of carpet that's been chosen, or the color of paint, or something silly like that. And John is helping us to see, hey, don't worry about the carpet. Don't worry about these little trivial things that don't matter and all the things that's not strictly spelled out in the Word of God, because you need to get along. And if I'm going to have a godly type of love, I'm going to do everything in my power to love Beverly. And I'm not saying whether that's easy or not. I'll let you figure that out yourself. And that's what's important. This love is the mark of what a disciple of Christ should be. We should love each other. Now, that's tough sometimes, but he's telling us that's the way it should be. And he says in verse 12, not as Cain. Now, you remember the story of Cain and Abel. Cain made his sacrifice to God. Abel made his. God accepted Abel's, didn't accept Cain, because Cain didn't do it the way God wanted him to. And he says, don't have the love like Cain had, who was of that wicked one. Okay, who's the wicked one? Well, that's Satan. What did Jesus say when he was talking to the publicans and sinners in the book of Luke? He says, you're children of the devil. He was telling the church people this, the priest of the day. You're children of the devil. You're wicked. You're listening to him instead of me. That's what Jesus said. So John tells us, don't have the type of love that Cain had, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And why did he slew him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. He was envious of Abel's actions. He was envious of God accepting Abel and not accepting Cain. And so he killed him. Oh my goodness, envy's another one, isn't it? We can get so envious of each other for the silliest of reasons. And John helps us see, hey, it's important not to have that type of love. It's important not to have the type of love where we get jealous with each other, but that was Cain's type of love. He had a heart that he would not allow God to direct and to influence, and it caused him to make such horrible choices in his life, and he ended up killing his brother. He says in verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Now, this was a contrast for me. Verse 13 and verse 14, almost, if you don't read between the lines, they're contrasting with each other. Verse 13 says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And then verse 14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. How? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And so I was trying to piece these verses together, and you know, we're talking about God's family here. This is a family epistle. And here he throws in this one short verse between all the other verses about love in the family of God with marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And it helps us kind of see let's just see what John said in his gospel. He says in John 15, verse 18 and 19, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now, that's what they did to Christ, because he was not part of their system, because he was from above and not from below. They hated him. And Jesus says, hey, it's going to happen to you too. And John helps us see here that that's going to happen anyway. There's not much, there is nothing we can do about it. But what we can do is the love that we have for each other. It makes it so much more important. He says in verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now John has given us, this is the fourth thing that John's given us in these verses that helps us make a self-examination of our Christianity, of our faith. He's given us four things. And the first one was this right here. This helps us see, this helps us look into our hearts, into our lives, and determine whether or not we're a child of God, a Christian. Now, why is that important? Well, most people can remember a day that they walked an aisle. I remember it well. I was 5 years old. And I've learned in the past 53 years that it was genuine. And here's how I know, and this is going to play into one of these in just a minute. This is how I know I'm a child of God. Because when I get on the road that's not leading to him, and I get on the backside of his displeasure, I feel it. I'm not at home. I'm living in the pig pen. And the Spirit of God gnaws at my heart until I get back in my Father's house. I know I'm a Christian. That's one reason I know. Some people may have the luxury to get away from the Lord for 5, 10, 15, 20 years and not get back, and I can't do that. It's nothing on me. It's all on him. But when I get away from the Lord and I start making choices that are bad for me and bad for him and bad for my testimony before the community, my heart eats away at me. I can't stay at the bottom of the barrel. I've been there several times, but I can't stay there. I've got to get out of there and get to a point where my life is approved by him. So that's the first thing that John gives us right there. The second thing is an attitude. That you have to look between the lines to see this, but you do see it. And the attitude is this right here. How humble are we when we come back to him? I've loved some of these verses. The prodigal son, when he came back home, listen to what he said to his father. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. He came to a point where he realized he's not even worthy to be a son of his father. But his father took him in. He was humble enough. And what that tells me is when I come back to the Lord, I can't do it with pride in my heart. I can't do it thinking that I'm anything. No, I've got to come with humility. Another wonderful verse that I want to share with you is Luke 7:44. And this is when Mary was serving the Lord. And it's what Jesus said about her service to him. And I'm just going to read you this verse, Luke 7:44. And he turned to the woman and said, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But look at this. But she hath washed my feet with what? With tears. It's an attitude. It's a humility before God. You say, I don't like to humble myself. I don't either. But the one person I need to humble to in my life is the God that I'm going to stand before one day. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah, that's the one person I need to worry about, because I'll stand before him, and I don't want to stand before him ashamed. I want to stand before him with confidence, as John tells us in these verses. So, in our life, are we continually obeying him or are we continually disobeying him? Number two, do we want to live in the pig pen all of our life as a Christian? Or do we want to get back to our Father's house? And John's helping to see, hey, look at your life and see if you're an actual child of God or not. And he's given us all these tips, all these hints that we can look at. Number three was our love for the world. This was the last 2 weeks in our lesson. Do we love the world? Now, what is the world? Is the world this creation? No, that's not the world we're talking about. And we're not even talking about humanity, because John 3:16, for God so loved the world. There's three worlds, just like there's three loves, there's three worlds in the New Testament. We're not talking about creation. We're not talking about humanity. What we're talking about is a world system controlled by Satan. We've been thrust into it. We were born into it. It's there so ready to take our time and take our attention and take our devotion and our love. John asked us, though, in the past 2 weeks, don't love the world. Are you somebody that loves the world system? And you can think of it this way. In my life, am I putting my confidence in my faith, in the Word of God, in His house? Or am I putting all my confidence in my job? Could fade tomorrow. Could walk in there and they say, okay, Dwayne, we don't need you anymore. You go on your way. Am I placing my faith? Am I seeking direction for my life from my job or from my wisdom? I don't have any of that, so I can't be doing that. Am I placing it in my pride? Am I a prideful guy? He helps us see, hey, there's a world system out there that is striving to be against Jesus Christ. And do you love that more than you love Jesus Christ? Do you love that? Do you love that more than you love the faith? And then he gives us this fourth one from today. And some of us may not want this one. He says, Dwayne, do you love Lizzie? Do you love Pat? Do you love Albert over here? It's a test. Now, I want to get this out of the way. You know, we're human beings, and we're different. Amen? We're different up here and in our heart. Got different experiences. We grew up different. Sometimes we may encounter a person that we kind of just don't like. I see a lot of head shaking. I've got one on my mind right now. And this is another reason I know I'm saved, by the way. This person gets on every last nerve I've got. 30 seconds of time with this person for me is, you might as well just run me over with your car. I don't like it. I don't like this person. But here's the reason, another reason I know I'm saved. So I think I actually love him as a brother. I pray for him. I don't want to spend time with him. Because goodness, you know. But I do care for him, and I pray for him. And some of my prayers are based on the fact that I see how he hurts himself, and so I end up praying things like, God, this man's a good man. I see that in him. But he spites himself all day long, causes so much trouble. There's so many heartaches in his life because of the way he is. And I find myself having a tender heart for this person that I don't like. That's never going to change because we're human beings. And Georgina may not like me because I'm a certain way, and I may not like her, but the wonderful thing about the gospel is it's strong enough. God's Holy Spirit is able to bring us together as a brother and sister in the family of God. We're almost finished, but let's get a few more verses in before we close. He says in verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Now let's go back to what Jesus said. Remember, he was out in his 3.5 years of ministry, and he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, he says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time. He's talking about Old Testament here, okay, when the law was written, Moses. You've heard that they said this, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Now, why does he go that far? Well, here's why. The law was all about the physical. Not doing this or not doing that. The gospel, the New Testament, Christ's message to us is all about the heart. It's all about my motive. It's all about my intention. I've never killed anybody. But I've thought about it. And here John's telling us, hey, look, whoever hates your brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And you say, well, why is he making this so strenuous? Well, you know, it's all about the heart. What's coming out of the heart? And John's helping to see that, no, we may not have a natural tendency to love each other. We may not even like each other. We may get on each other's nerves. But one thing we've got for us is this right here. We've been saved. We've repented of our sins. We've trusted in him. And because of that, he's forgiven us of our sins. And God's Holy Spirit is now residing within us. So guess what? Georgina and I can get along. That's what God's Spirit does. We walk around with this old nature, and we can step aside away from the Lord just like that. But stepping along with us is God's Holy Spirit. And when we start to step off the pavement into the field, we feel this conscience. Reading God's word, we feel this thing that is motivating us to not do what we were about to be. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God's Spirit. One of the songs that we sing around here is "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." And there's a phrase in there: prone to wander away from the Lord. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Well, many years ago, somebody took that phrase and they changed it just a little bit. And you can see it in some of the older hymn books this second way. Remember, the first way is prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Somebody changed it to this right here. Prone to worship, Lord, I feel it. Prone to serve the God I love. Now, which is it? Prone to wander or prone to worship? I tell you, in my life, it's both. When I've stepped away from the Lord, I'm prone to not care what he wants me to do, how he wants me to think. But when I've got God's Holy Spirit that's got a hold of me, and I'm listening to his direction, and I'm in the Word of God, and the Word of God is helping me see through the decisions that I make, then guess what? I'm prone to worship. I'm prone to serve him because he's speaking to my heart, and that's what he does for his people. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you.